food.
You need a closer.
They ordered the food. Portobello chicken. The same our normal caterers. You know, elites and jobus and bones organized.
Are they gonna eat them?
Bones is coming as a guest?
No. I mean, they got the South African.
How are they gonna eat them?
In the oven.
No, but on Shabbos.
We'll keep it in before.
African Burmese.
Oh, I see. Get some warm. South African Burmese has come before anything.
It's eternity.
Okay, gentlemen, we're continuing the Rambam, Hilchas Chanukah, Perek Dalet, Halacha Dalet, Chapter 4, Law 4. This is going much quicker than I anticipated, Baruch Hashem. I'm sorry to tell you, when we finish this, which means we finish this volume.
Well, Megillah.
Megillah we can't do it surely. So the other volume, we still have Erevin.
Well, I'm going to go in the other room.
Winter time especially.
So, gotta bite the bullet.
We're going to have to do it sooner or later. So I think it's going to be sooner.
Which is the other one? The one that...
The other one that everybody had.
The Yontif?
Yeah.
So I should start looking into getting it.
Right, I think so. Let's see how far we get today, but I think we got to do it. Okay, Halacha Dalet. Ner sheyesh lo shtei pios. A lamp that has two mouths. An opening on two sides, and you got this wick, right? And you got two wicks. Let's say you got a, what do you call it? The holders. What do you call it? The cup. The cup where the oil goes into, right?
Yeah.
And it's got two mouths. So you got one wick here, one wick here, but it's in the same cup.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So Olish Nave in the Autumn will work for two people. According to the second level of Mahadran, what's the second level of Mahadran? You light one candle for each person, right? So let's say on the first day of Hanukkah, there's two people. You want to have two candles, one for each person. Two lights, one for each person. So you put in one holder, you could have one wick on one side and one wick on the other, and that'll be good for two people. Now, what if Milei Ka'ara Shevim Kufa Psilos? Now you have a picture, a very nice picture in your book on page 163. Let's say you got this bowl with oil, and look how you're putting candles all around like that. Okay? So now, And Mile Karshama Viki Foxilos, and you're surrounding it with wicks. Now, what's the law? Im Kapala Kelly, if you put a covering over it, in a way that the oil is covered, and each wick has its own little identified place, and it's not likely these wicks will merge together, then that's okay. Kol Psilo Psilo Nachshavas Kiner Achad, so each wick is like one light. But lo kavala ki, but if you don't put a utensil over it to kind of separate them, nasis kimadura, they will become like a torch. Vafilu kiner echad ein nechshavas. It won't even be considered like one light, because we know you're not allowed to use a torch for Ner Chanukah. Why? Because if you have a torch, people, the whole point of Ner Chanukah is the persume nisa, to reveal the miracle, and to let people, when they're looking at a Hanukkah menorah, or a light, they're supposed to know, is it a Hanukkah light? And not any other kind of light. If they're looking at, let's say you want to make, for the first night of Hanukkah, one big torch. That's my light. Everyone's going to say, that's a very nice torch you have there. Where's your Hanukkah menorah? You understand? A torch is something that's used strictly for illuminative purposes. It's can't, you know, and it very much would be mistaken that it's not a Hanukkah light. So if you got a bunch of these wicks all around, well, if you don't cover a lid on it, eventually these will all come together and will make one torch.
How would the lid help it? What's
I guess it keeps them separated.
Each one has a separate
hole. On top, have a little hole around, you know, about eight little holes.
Okay, so it's sort of like
that's what I'm
saying.
You're
talking about a lid, but it can't come together.
Yeah. Or let's say, you put a smack in between, like inside, like let's say this is the round. This is round. Let's just pretend it's round. Got wick here, wick here, wick here, wick here, wick here, wick here. Now I put a utensil right inside.
Keeps them all
separate. Now it keeps the wick separated from each other. It's pressing up against them, but they won't allow them to move around.
Yeah, that's how the picture.
Right? But you couldn't imagine that in the picture, but that would be the way. Yeah. You have to put inside,
Yeah, it looks like he's put something there because they're all at the periphery. If you
right.
Look,
yeah, you can.
All
it, does, it does do that.
It's the keeping them at the periphery.
Yeah. Yeah. So you put a little lid on it.
I was being more, you know, scientific by putting little holes in everything.
He actually puts a lid on it.
Okay. We will continue. So that, but it's all according to the Mahadran. It only works according to the Mahadran, this halacha. Hey, when do you light the Hanukkah menorah? Ein madlikin eres Hanukkah kodem shetishka chama. You may not light Hanukkah menorah before sun sets. Ela im shkiyasa, but rather with the setting of the sun. Lo ma'akrim, you don't do it too late. Lo ma'atim, you don't do it too early. Because if you do it either way, it won't be known, you won't be able to tell that it's for Hanukkah.
Except on Shabbos.
If you do it too early, it's daytime. It's the wrong time. If you're doing it too late at night, there'll be nobody to see it. So it doesn't work either. Now, what if Shachach, what if you forgot to light? Oh, hazy, let's say on purpose you didn't light. Lo hidlikim shkias kham, you didn't light with sunset. So madlik vok, you still have time to light. At shetich l'regel min ashuk, until this expression, which is called, until the feet have passed the market. In other words, in the olden days when the sun set, people were going home. The markets were closing. People went home. It's dark. You didn't stay open at night. So in those days, so you figure when the sun sets, everyone's leaving. It's about a half an hour time from sunset till everybody leaves the marketplace and has passed all the homes. And at that point, the streets are quiet, abandoned, and nobody will ever see your menorah anymore. And that's what he asks. How much time is this that the feet have passed away from the market? About a half an hour, maybe a little bit more. If that time has passed, ain't a madlik, you cannot light anymore, because if there's no one going to see it. There's no point in doing it. All right? Now, that's all in the olden days. We'll modify that halacha shortly. V'tzorach shita in shemen b'ner, you have to put enough oil in the holder, that it should go for that half an hour period till the last person has left the marketplace. What if hidlika v'kavsa? What if you lit it and it went out? The wind blew it out. An unusual wind blew it out. Or for whatever reason went out. You don't have to light it again. Because we will see later what the halacha is, that Hanukkah menorah is different than a Shabbos. One, where it's not asked of Shalom Bayis, you lit it, you did the Persume Nisa, and now it's out. You don't have to relight it anymore. Nishara dolek es achashikol seregel mishuk. What if it's still going after the half an hour? You don't want to waste precious oil. Imratzu lechbos, if you want to put it out, o lesalko, or to now move it away from the window and move it away from its Hanukkah purpose, and no one has to see it anymore. Osa, you're allowed to do that. Okay, now let's look at some halachas on this. Well, why don't you wait till I do a few halachas? Maybe it'll answer your one quick question. Okay, go ahead. If it does, you give me $1. If it does, you give me $1.
Okay. What do I get if it doesn't? No, I get the answer.
I answer your question.
So, if it's 25 minutes after the market's closed, do you just have to use enough oil for five more minutes? Because no one's going to be there to see it after that.
That's a good question. I don't know the answer to that question. I mean,
if it's, what was the question?
If you light it after 25 minutes.
Yeah. Do you only have
in
to
those days,
for 5 minutes?
In those days, there's only going to be 5 minutes of people seeing it.
Yeah, but I think there is something that you do have to have it going for a half hour.
But the reason he's saying so, everyone's going to see it. Anyway, that's a good question. It's a mute point because that's not the real reason.
I get to keep my dollar.
The fact you get to keep your dollar. Good question.
Okay.
So now there's a real big problem over here. What does these words mean? Mishatishka hachama. What do those words mean? From the time the sun sets. There's a big machlokas in the poskim, what they mean. So some poskim say the preferred time is immediately at the beginning of sunset. Yeah. That is the preferred time. Yeah. Other poskim hold that the proper time is at the conclusion of the setting of the
three
sun,
stars.
Which is Tesa Kol Chavim, which is three stars coming out.
Not from marketplace.
And in different places, there's different times when Tesa Kol Chavim would be reckoned. So there's all different kinds of minhagim that people do, and many of them do it after a certain amount of time after sunset. It can range anywhere from 15 minutes afterwards, 25 minutes afterwards, a half an hour afterwards.
2 minutes afterwards.
But one thing it has to be clear: and there's some who do it when the stars are out. So a lot of these issues are mute points, because there's other relevant halachas that come into play that have priority as to what's going on over here. In the olden days, when, you're right, when it got dark, everybody closed down, everybody came home, so you could be pretty sure that right around sunset, people are coming into your house. Your kids are coming home, you're coming home, everybody's home, the family's together, there's people still walking the street. Obviously, it's very clear. You light it there, and then people are going to be able to see that. That was clear. But many things happened since then. Number one, the modern urbanization of Jews, and there are not very many people. Let's say sunset is going to be when Hanukkah is. I'll venture to guess about 4:45 or so. Quarter to five, most men are at work. You know, not many people are traveling the streets. It's not even getting close to rush hour, maybe. And then, so that's one issue. And, you know, a lot of parents aren't home till 6 o'clock. Kids in yeshiva may not even be home.
So we know that, let's say November 30th, Shkia is 20 to 5.
4:40, okay? A lot of people aren't even home at 4:40. Then you're going to light without people being in the house? That's not good. A. B. There was a great period of time where there was great danger to light outside. You had to light inside, and it wasn't even for the public consumption anyway, you're lighting. And you were lighting it just for your house. I think it's just for your house, then it has nothing to do with this time frame at all. And it's when people are at home. So in many ways, this halacha is not applicable, although we still try to apply it. And then the third issue is, what about Friday? Friday, you clearly can't light after sunset at all. Not even at sunset, and not even 18 minutes before sunset.
You use enough oil so that it stays lit.
Those are many issues that are at... So again, there's many opinions. Certainly, an optimal thing would do. I mean, I would say an optimal thing, but not everybody can work optimally. Everybody should be home at sunset. Right? Like in the yeshivas, that's right in the middle of Second Seder. Second Seder was started at about 3:30, and we'll go till 7. So now at 4, right in the middle, 4:45, go leave the yeshiva. So they did. They took a half an hour break. In the yeshiva, you could do that. Everybody was living around the yeshiva. So you had a half an hour break. Everybody went home. In the yeshiva, when I was a bachur, in the base medrash, they made a klop. You stopped learning. A guy lit, we sang an Eretz Hallel, dance a little bit, 10-15 minute break, and then went back to learning. Couple guys, they all went to their apartments, we all went home, lit, and then came back up. Some guys, when they went home, maybe they didn't come back up. They went home, you know, the lights and the latkes,
some canios.
But, okay, so when you live in those kinds of closed worlds, you're able to do that. So, yeah, in the perfect world, if it's 20 to 5, everybody's home, light it. Now put enough oil that it goes through the stars coming out, plus a half an hour after that.
To cover passers by as well.
So at minimum, you'd want something like approximately 75 minutes minimum to cover that amount of time. And that's clearly what you have to do on an Erev Shabbos. Erev Shabbos, you have to light before 18 minutes before sunset. Yeah. So it's at least 20 minutes before
usually
sunset.
More.
So it's got to go 20 minutes for that. Then about 45 to 50 minutes till stars going out. And then a half an hour after that, so now you're already talking a good hour and 40 minutes at least.
2 hours. If you have 2 hours, you're in the seat.
Right. That you have to have that lit. So, and then clearly, what are you going to do if, you know, you can't get off early from work and you're coming home at 6 o'clock? So surely everybody should wait and everybody gets together and you light together. So a lot of these halachas kind of aren't as applicable as it were. And therefore, but you surely nowadays, at least if you're lighting by the stars coming out, then you need at least a half an hour sufficient light, because that's the way the original decree was. The original way was, it has to be for an half an hour. You have to have at least a half an hour. So those cheapy candles that you get in the boxes, if you light after the stars come out,
okay,
then they're okay. But it won't help you on Shabbos, and clearly it's not the nicest way to do the mitzvah. It should be with oil, etc., etc. You should have enough for all that.
Well, Rabbeinu Tam's time is now 70 10 to 6 on during Hanukkah.
All right, so you held like Rabbeinu. But on the other hand, see, you might want to be machmer to start a little before that, because here's this catch-22. If the opinion to light is when the sun set, if you can go to Rabbeinu Tam, that's 72 minutes, you're way after the time. you've totally blown it. According to the opinion, it says you have to do it at sunset.
That's 10 to 6.
According to Benetton, you're doing it too early.
Yeah.
So you can't win. So that's why some people like go in the middle.
Hmm.
You know, they pick a time somewhere in the middle. Let's say 20 minutes after sunset. So you're still not past the half hour after sunset. And you're kind of reasonably not that too early before the star is coming out.
So 20 minutes is 5 o'clock or 10 o'clock.
And then you still have to leave a half an hour for after that as well. And certainly you want to be, it should be dark. That's also a good factor. Right at sunset, it isn't that dark either. So usually, like you wait about 20 minutes or so, and that, there are many opinions that say that. About 20 minutes after sunset, you're kind of, as they say, in the safe zone. But then again, there could be other things that are taking priority to that. If the family isn't home, no point in lighting alone. So you want to definitely light when everybody's home.
So is a consideration both when you light and when it's lit?
What?
I mean, it's the time that you light, and it's how much oil you have so that it remains lit.
Well, the main thing is it should be lit.
Right. So if you light it early, but you put enough oil in it so it stays lit.
But you can't light it too early. What if you lit it before, what do you call it, before Plaga Mincha?
That's no good.
No.
Then that's clear. Because remember, we're going to see there's a rule, Hadlocha Oysa Mitzvah. We're going to see the Hadlocha Oysa Mitzvah. The lighting is the mitzvah. So you have to light it at a time where the mitzvah would come into reality.
It seems like you could light it at the earliest possible time and put enough oil so it meets the requirements at the later time.
Yeah. So let's say you want to light it at sunset.
Yeah.
Don't you light it in shul in the morning, though?
That's just custom.
That's just
custom. That's just custom. That's not halacha.
No bracha.
No bracha.
No bracha in the morning.
Not in the morning.
At night there is
just a custom.
What do you do in a situation like you want everybody in the household to be there, but let's say one of your kids is in school or for whatever reason comes home fairly late. Like everybody, every member of the family is home, let's say, by 6, but somebody's coming home at 8, 9 o'clock.
Let's put this, if you can do it when everybody's up and awake, it's a good thing to do. Chafetz Chaim, we know stories about him, that when the Rebbetzin came late, he waited and waited and waited.
No, but is but
they could do their own.
So, either they could do it. They could do it themselves. The other person does it themselves when they come back.
That's different with the Rebbetzin. You do it together.
Ideal,
right?
Is the ideal that
the ideal is there should be shalom in the house. That's the ideal.
So, if you have
what would cause more shalom in the house? what would cause every house will have a different answer.
Right. No, but if the ideal shalom would be to do it at 9
Who's
o'clock...
Who's coming home so late?
Let's say you have a child, and I don't have it, but let's say you have a child in university. Yeah, they have an evening class. And
the yeshiva, they're coming.
They have an exam.
Nah, they come home early on
Hanukkah.
They bring them home early. Yeshivas, they come home on Hanukkah.
No,
but
I'm
saying university.
In university, you have a child who's in a, you know, whatever reason.
Right, so then they would light themselves?
That's light an older person already.
That would light themselves.
Because if you wait, then you...
Everybody's lighting for themselves anyway nowadays. So then they light when they
except
come.
Except for husband and wife.
Right. So they light by themselves. Right?
So
now, let's just look a little bit more. So what if now, where are we now? And more than that, they bring down, nowadays, with street lighting, right, people walk much later into the evening.
Right.
So, but still in all, the primary time still remains. We keep the primary time. But it'll still help us out in case you didn't. So now, if a person, let's say, forgot or intentionally did not light in the proper time, so the best way is to light within the half an hour after nightfall. That would be the best time to do it. But that was, again, was during the times of Chazal. Nowadays, because, now, again, depending on what you're holding like, many people light indoors when it was times of scariness and things like that, and danger. So many poskim held that the whole mitzvah to publicize is just for your family now. So therefore you can light later. But still, you should still try the optimum time. But if you're lighting after the optimum time, still it should be a half an hour. So it seems that half an hour, we're very particular about it no matter what.
6:20.
Now, this is all the lechachila. But if the optimum time passed, then you have the entire night with a bracha until alos ha-shachar, until halachic dawn. That's all you have.
It's a big window.
Now, but, that only applies if members of the household are still awake.
Yeah, you can do it everybody.
So let's say the father or the mother, whatever, is out of town, and everybody went to bed, and now you came in from out of town at 4 in the morning,
Oy.
And now you're all alone. Now, who are you lighting for?
yourself.
People in the street? No. You have to publicize
it.
In the street, ain't nobody to publicize it for. In your family, there's nobody to publicize. They're asleep. So if you come, let's say, before dawn, so if you want to make a bracha, then you got
to
wake up members of your household
to
permit lighting with a bracha.
Maybe how about the dog?
If they're sleeping, then he would light without a bracha. Then the question is, if you're going to wake up, how many do you have to wake up?
It's
preferable to have two or three people up. But if if there's only one adult or even one child who has some understanding, you can light with a bracha. So that's the halacha. So again, you can light basically all night as long as people are up. But if it's very late, if you don't want to wake anybody up, you're not going to make a bracha.
So what if you live outside and there was traffic?
At 3 in the morning?
Yeah.
I don't think on your street you're going to have traffic.
Calvin Chambers? Come on, Calvin Chambers.
You live alone.
Not even on Springgate. That's too late already. That's way too late. Now, if you were in New York, that's another story. The city that never
traffic,
sleeps.
You could light outside.
You don't have traffic.
But forget me.
If you're on Times Square, you could light. Okay. You're right. On Times Square, you could light.
If you live alone and you're on the 23rd floor of a condo, no one's going to see it for me. No matter what.
Well, then you're lighting it for yourself.
But you're not publishing it. You're lighting it yourself. That's the same as nobody.
That's a good question. He's asking, what if a guy lived by himself? Then I guess you only could publicize for yourself. What does he do at any time?
But that's so different than what I can do.
You could say it the whole night with the bracha. There's no other family member.
That's the same thing. The guy coming home late at night.
But you're publicizing it out.
But he's on the 20th floor. He's on the 23rd
floor. No one's going to see it.
No, but what does a single person ever do? He lights for himself.
So by the same token,
well, you have to wake anyone.
His family's sleeping.
No, but that's for the whole family, right? The whole family's not
there. The whole family is that.
What if they've lived?
He has an obligation to do it for his family.
But if they lit that night.
So they've already lit. The house has been lit, so we don't need to have another bracha for no reason.
Wait, he doesn't have to light for himself?
He should, but there's got to be people watching that.
If you light it outside, and let's play that the light, most of them go out.
You don't have to relight it. Yeah, if you want to, you can relight it.
Do you really leave it outside then, or if it's...
What are you leaving out?
Would you like to leave the menorah outside then, or not? If you know, because of the wind or whatever...
Well, first of all, you shouldn't light if the wind... That's why you have to get the glass boxes, so they don't knock them out.
There's no chambers
in it. I've got one with a glass box. Not that great. If it's windy, they still blow out. Because there's little holes for the thing to vent. So if it's really windy... And
so if it's really winding, then don't light it outside.
Yeah,
if you know the wind's going to put it out, then light it inside. Okay. Now, if once the entire night has passed and you didn't light, you cannot make it up. And therefore, the following night, you just light regular.
It's not like Omer counting.
No such thing as making it up at all. Okay, let's move ahead now. Where are we now? Halacha Vav. Okay. Now, although there's very complex halachas, which we did learn when we learned Hilchos Shabbos, not all wicks and not all oils are acceptable to use on Shabbos, but on Hanukkah, that's a different halacha. Vav. Kol hashmonim kol apsilos ksheris aner Hanukkah. All the wicks and all the oils are kosher to use for a near Hanukkah. Even though the oil doesn't draw so well into the wick, and the fire doesn't retain and catch so well on the wick, still in all, the halacha is, if it goes out, you don't have to relight it, as the Rambam has already taught us. And therefore, they can be used. Now, this is interesting. What about Hanukkah candles lighting on Friday afternoon before Shabbos? So even those don't have to be the best wicks as well. Still, can you light with oil and wicks that you can't use for Shabbos?
It's not Shabbos.
You can use it for Hanukkah, even though it's Friday night Hanukkah, because it has a different status as a Shabbos candle. Shabbos candles have one status. Hanukkah candles have a different status. Even the Hanukkah candles lit on Friday afternoon for Shabbos. Night, but it's not a Shabbos candle. The Shabbos candle is primarily for Shalom Bayis. If it's for Shalom Bayis, you need to have a good light, don't you? If it doesn't light well, you're not giving any Shalom Bayis. and therefore you may be tempted to fix it up if it doesn't light very well. Chanukah, the Chanukah light is not for shalom bias. So even though it's not a great light, but as long as somebody can see there's a light there and they can figure, I see three lights, it's the third night of Chanukah, that's okay. So now you're not going to be tempted to fix it. The whole problem with the poor wicks and the poor oil is we're afraid you may fix it on Shabbos. That's the only problem. And why would you fix it? Because you need light. And that's primary mitzvah is to give you light for Shabbos. The Chanukah menorah, you're not allowed to take advantage and use that for your own personal benefit. It's the exact opposite of a Shabbos one. You're not allowed to read next to the Chanukah menorah. So what do you care to make it, you just need, it should light to the extent that people could see some kind of fire. So you can see there's three lit lights. We know it's the third night of Chanukah. So therefore, what do we care if it's not such a good a wick and such a good thing? So that's okay. That's what he says in the next line. But you should also establish Ner Chanukah. So you're not allowed to use the light of the Ner Chanukah anyway, because it's there for, it's only for, to remember the miracle that happened with the menorah. If we take benefit of that, we won't be thinking this is a special Chanukah-based menorah, and that's what you're not allowed to do. So since you can't use it, Bein B'Shabbos, Bein B'Chol, regardless if it's Friday night or end of the night of the week. But if you leave the most, even to count money, only Nosan La'ara, to check money rather, to check if the minting is proper, which is not a very difficult job, you don't need a lot of light. You still can't do that. Only Nosan, or to count them to the fire, you can't. Usher is all not allowed to be done. Now, on a mystical level, we understand, just briefly, that the whole idea of the candle is the neshama, right? Ner Elokim Nishmas Adam, right? The soul of man is God's candle. So what are we saying? Shabbos, we know, is the day of the soul. The day of the soul. You can only use wicks and oil that really light well. Which means to say, and there's some wicks and some oils that don't light real well, which means to say the following. Shabbos, which is the day of the soul, and the whole idea of a candle and a wick, that's a hint to the human soul, we're saying not all souls resonate with Shabbos. Shabbos comes, there are some wicks and oil, meaning some Jews, have got good souls and they light really well. And those things connect to Shabbos. Others don't connect to Shabbos, right? So not all to the mystical understanding is that you can't use all wicks and all oils for Shabbos, meaning to say not every soul connects to the Shabbos. But on the other hand, Chanukah is different. Chanukah is such a yontif that even the wicks and the oil that don't draw so well on for Shabbos candles you can't use on Shabbos, but even a secular neshama on Chanukah, Hashem comes down and arouses their soul. That's the deeper meaning, that not all wicks and oils that can be used on Shabbos can be used on Chanukah, because Chanukah, even the lowest Jew can be touched by Chanukah. And that's why it's interesting, you'll have Jews who don't even light Friday night candles, who still light Chanukah menorah. It's unbelievable. Because there's some kind where God comes, because Chanukah is the only weekday yontif. It's the weekday, you don't do anything Shabbos thick. It's mamish, you go like, where are you now? It's a weekday, you go to work, it's mamish, everything. And even the idea, and it's the darkest, it's the deepest night, it's long night, it's the least holy part of the year. And Hashem says, in that deepest part, you can find Kedusha too. So that's the idea with these wicks and things that normally can't light are able to be used at that time. Okay, good place to stop.
Wait, when they talk about
on Sunday, you guys going to be here on Sunday?
Yeah.
You'll be back? You'll be in the mood to learn?
You have to be back for a minute.
What time's Mincha?
The
thing ends at, well, lunch will be over, let's say, 1:30. The latest. You'll be back by 2:30. Mincha will be probably a quarter. Oh, no, they changed the clock.
Yeah, it'll be about 4:45.
About quarter to five or something like that. You going to make it? Yes? No? You going to make it?
Maybe you should do a survey while you're there. And then.
But if you leave it...
No, I won't be able to send an email from there.
Thank you. But if you leave it... Sorry. If you leave it...
I think maybe better not. Well, you know what? Let's not push it. Probably down Mincha there also. We'll resume on
Monday.
And
then what are we going to do for Mark?
You'll come
find somewhere else.
Mark's later, whatever.
There's going to be a Mincha here.
There'll be Mincha for Mark here. Okay, good. So let me just turn this off. Okay, so we'll continue on Monday.